the Dark Ages. How did the Reformers rescue us from them, and how might we be going back into them once again? Hello, friends. I'm Wayne Shepherd, welcoming you back to Encounter God's Truth from Whitcomb Ministries. Our purpose in broadcasting is to declare plainly that God's Word is true from the beginning to the end. It's much like the 16th century Protestant Reformers, who brought the medieval world out of the Dark Ages with a message built on their confidence in grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, and the glory of God alone. How did they do it? And how might we who live in the 21st century be reversing the heritage that we received from them and plunging the world of today back into a new Dark Ages? Joining us on the next two programs to deal with these issues related to the Reformation and the Dark Ages is special guest teacher Dr. Andy Woods. Dr. Woods is the senior pastor of Sugar Land Bible Church in Sugar Land, Texas, and the president of Schaefer Theological Seminary. He's also an attorney who has a great interest in history. He's led a tour of the sites of the German Reformation and is the author of a book on the Reformation called Ever Reforming. So once again this year, we continue our tradition of welcoming Dr. Woods here to Encounter God's Truth during the month of October to help us understand the significance and consequences of the Reformation. This time, he'll talk about the relevance of the Dark Ages, how the Reformation pulled civilization out of the Dark Ages, and why we might be returning to them once again today. Then, next week, we'll think about the very first influences that ignited the Reformation and moved it forward. So, welcome back, Dr. Woods. Please speak to us about the Reformation and the Dark Ages.
One of the things that's very important to understand is why did there need to be a Protestant Reformation? And it's difficult to answer that question unless we understand the period that preceded the Reformation, called the many times the Dark Ages. Let's talk just for a few moments about the relevance of the Dark Ages. What were the Dark Ages? Well, the Dark Ages represented a period of time beginning in the 4th century AD, roughly, and they went all the way to the 16th century, the eve of the Protestant Reformation. Think of the length of that period of time. That's a period of time over 1,000 years. Dark Ages represented a period of time when the subject of prophecy or prophetic studies had become somewhat obsolete. The church, for a lot of reasons that I will explain, did not take those prophecies that speak of a coming kingdom and God's future end time program literally, which of course is a great tragedy because the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 calls the prophetic scripture something made more sure than even eyewitness testimony. It functions as a light shining in a dark place, which we would do well to pay attention to. Why was the church ignoring the great bulk of scripture concerning the end of the age? Well, a lot of that end time material deals with the restoration of the nation of Israel to their homeland. And it just did not seem as if prophecies like that could be construed literally. After all, the Jews had been forced out of their land by the Romans in AD 70. They had been pushed into worldwide dispersion. Hadrian, a Roman emperor, had come to power, and he had renamed that land Palestine to sort of de-Judaize the land. He named it after one of Israel's ancient enemies called the Philistines. And so the land was barren. It was devoid of the Jewish people. And so the prophecies concerning the restoration of the Jews to their land seemed quite far-fetched if interpreted literally. It also represented a time where kingdom now theology was dominant. What dominated the church during that difficult time period was something called Augustinian amillennialism. So during this period of time, amillennialism, sometimes known as kingdom now theology, was dominant. Premillennialism, or the view of a future kingdom, that Christ will return one day and establish his kingdom, which is what the church believed for the first two centuries, was now passé. It was null and void. During the Dark Ages, there was only one church. It's interesting that even today, the Roman Catholic Church, still in the post-Reformation world, thinks of itself as the one true church. Another characteristic of these Middle Ages or Dark Ages is the Bible was essentially removed from the common laity. There was no such thing during this time period as the priesthood of all believers. One of the things that lay in great neglect during this time period is the notion that all of God's people are priests and that all of us are qualified to study and learn and understand the Bible for ourselves. Gone was the understanding of the priesthood of all believers found in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, where Jesus says of his church that he has made us to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. And so this is why the Protestant reformers following the Dark Ages laid such a great stress on the priesthood of all believers, because it was a concept that was lost during the Dark Ages. It represented a time period when the scripture was wildly allegorized. The interpreters of the scripture were viewed as only the clergy. The layperson, of course, could not, it was believed, understand the scripture for themselves. In fact, all throughout Europe during these Dark Ages, people did not own Bibles and study Bibles on their own, because the Bibles were literally chained in many cases to the pulpits of the various Roman Catholic parishes throughout the Middle Ages, throughout Europe. It was believed that only the clergy or the ecclesiastical Roman Catholic authorities could understand the Bible, and they followed a practice called allegorization, where they basically believed that there were multiple meanings to a text. For example, the four rivers in the book of Genesis chapter 2 in the Garden of Eden, the Pishon and the Gihon and the Euphrates and the Tigris, an allegorist would say, well, those aren't real rivers. Those just represent four parts of the human soul. And, of course, if you can't understand the Bible literally, and the only person that could understand the interpretation of an allegory was the allegorist himself, you can see how the layperson was looked at as unqualified to study the Bible. Beyond all of that, there was rampant illiteracy during this time period. Even if people had Bibles, they couldn't read them because they were illiterate. And this is why the Protestant reformers in the 16th century put such a great stress on raising literacy standards and translating the Bible into the vernacular of the common man. If people were literate, it didn't help them much, because the Mass, the Roman Catholic Mass, was still read in Latin. They were still using Latin because that was sort of the lingua franca of Rome, really going back to the 4th century. And as Christianity progressed from Rome into the various European states and the language changed, the church never bothered to change the language into the vernacular of the common man, and they retained the ancient language Latin, and this further removed the scripture from the people. And it was really a tragic place to be in, because if you have no scripture or the ability to access it or even understand it, how in the world can you test what was being taught to you by the Roman Catholic authorities? It's interesting that Paul the Apostle in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 commended the Bereans, for they received eagerly what Paul had taught. And actually Luke writing the book of Acts, commends them by saying they took the great teachings of the Apostle Paul and they put them to the test. They examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us that we as Christians should be employing this practice no matter who teaches us. It says, test all things. Hold fast to that which is good, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. The book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2 commends the church at Ephesus. The Lord commends the church there because they put certain men claiming to be apostles to the test and have found them to be liars. And so having the completed canon of scripture, understanding it, reading it, studying it is a great advantage because it allows you to test what you're being taught by the religious authorities with God's word, rejecting the things therefore which are false. But the church during this 1200 year period called the Dark Ages had no ability to test as I've described it. And consequently, what was happening is the Roman Catholic authorities were abusing the people. They would tell the people that if you want to spring, you know, one of your uncles or relatives out of purgatory, you needed to pay the right price to the Roman Catholic authorities. And in fact, there was a little jingle that was developed during this time period which said when the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. And there was a man during this time period named Johann Tetzel who basically captured or capsulized this practice of the sale of indulgences, bringing in great money to the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, here's an excerpt from one of Tetzel's sermons. This is what he would say to the biblically illiterate people. He would say, quote, "Don't you hear the voices of your wailing dead parents and others who say, 'Have mercy upon me, have mercy upon me, because we are in severe punishment and pain. From this you could redeem us with a small alms, and yet you do not want to do so. Open your ears, as the fathers say to the son, and the mother to the daughter. We have created you, fed you, cared for you, left you our temporal goods. Why then are you so cruel and harsh that you do not want us, you do not want to save us, though it takes only a little? You let us lie in flames so that we only slowly come to the promised glory," close quote. In other words, if you want to release your relatives out of purgatory, all you have to do is pay the right price to the Roman Catholic authority. And the people, of course, were vulnerable to this. Why? Because they had no Bible to test that teaching by and determine that the whole concept of purgatory and praying your relatives out of purgatory is a non-biblical concept. And this became a great moneymaker for the Roman Catholic authorities. This explains why St. Peter's Basilica in Rome is as well financed and built up as it is, for the simple reason that the money came into the Roman Catholic Church by essentially bilking the people out of their income by telling them that they could pray their relatives out of torment or out of purgatory through what became known as the sale of indulgences. Something else that was quite dominant during the Middle Ages is anti-Semitism or Jew hatred. Of course, if it is believed that God is through with the Jew and God is through with the nation of Israel, then there's no real basis for standing up to anti-Semitism as a Christian. And of course, with amillennialism and Kingdom Now theology in place and the Jews outside of their land and Hadrian renaming the land of Israel to Palestine, There was no theology in place to stand up against anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism occurs very early on in Scripture. In Acts 18, verses 1 and 2, we read these words, "After these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth and found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome." So you can see there in that decree of Claudius that Jew hatred was even taking place in the time that the New Testament was being formed. And that, of course, continued on as the Jews throughout the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages were referred to as the Christ killers. And it's interesting that when you study architecture throughout the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages, how much of the architecture is derogatory and quite hateful to the Jewish people. And so you can see that with no Bible in place and no eschatology in place to cogently argue that God has an end-time program in store for the nation of Israel, there was no logical reason for Christendom to stand up to such Jew hatred. And when you look at all of these things that were taking place during this time period called the Middle Ages, from the 4th to the 16th century, whether it's the obsolescence of prophetic studies, the domination of Kingdom Now theology, the belief that only the Roman Catholic Church was the true church, the notion that the Bible was now removed from the laity, the sale of indulgences, and anti-Semitism running rampant, the church was in desperate need of rescue. And this is what God began to do through his work through the Protestant reformers. God, of course, had to act because we have the promise of Christ in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 that the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. And so consequently, God raised up these Protestant reformers to rescue the church as they countered many of these trends during the Protestant Reformation. They began to emphasize, these Protestant reformers, the priesthood of all believers. All of us are priests, not just the clergy. And if all of us are priests, all of us have the ability to read the scripture for ourselves. And this was communicated through their teaching of sola scriptura, returning the authority to scripture alone, rejecting Roman Catholic Church tradition as a guide, rejecting the practice of allegorization, and telling people that they could understand the Bible for themselves just through the simple implementation of the consistent literal method of interpretation from Genesis to Revelation. And the Protestant reformers rescued us from those dark ages by placing such a high emphasis on literacy and Bible translations into the vernacular of the common man. The printing press, of course, was coming into existence during this time period, which allowed the ideas of the Protestant reformers in the 16th century to take their ideas and export them to the masses. And so that's the significance of the Protestant Reformation and how it rescued us from the Dark Ages. One of the things that's somewhat troubling to me in way of closing is how the Dark Ages seem to be returning. It's interesting that with the advent of the emergent church, the Bible seems to be once again discarded. It's almost as if the emergent church wants to leapfrog the Protestant Reformation and go back to these dark ages. One emergent writer says concerning his church, sermons here at his church, in other words, are not primarily about extracting truth from the Bible to apply to our lives. And it's interesting that in the place of diligent Bible study today in the emergent church, One finds a return to medieval monasticism. Another emergent writer says, postmoderns today prefer to encounter Christ by using all their senses. That's part of the appeal of classical, liturgical, or contemplative worship. The incense, the candles, the making of the sign of the cross, the taste and smell of the bread and the wine, touching icons and being anointed with oil, close quote. This emergent writer goes on and talks about multisensory and interactive. Through various experimental elements as well as through space itself, we can actually preach. Art preaches, scripture preaches, music preaches, even silence preaches, close quote. And if we don't know history, we can see very fast how Christianity can return to those dark ages that the Protestant reformers so diligently rescued us from.
You're listening to Encounter God's Truth. Our special guest teacher is Dr. Andy Woods, and we're dedicating time this month once again to considering the importance of the Reformation. If you want to review Dr. Woods' teaching on the Reformation that he's given previously on this program, visit us at sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb. While you're there, you can also go back and listen to our classic broadcast for this season of the year from Dr. John Whitcomb called Reformation or Halloween. Reformation Day is October 31st. Make sure that you're ready this year to make biblically informed choices for your family in deciding how to celebrate that day. Remember that you can find our sermon audio page easily when you visit our website at whitcombministries.org. This week and next, we're talking about the significance of the Dark Ages with regard to the Reformation with Dr. Andy Woods. My question today, Dr. Woods, takes us back into the centuries before the Reformation. What drove history into the Dark Ages to begin with, and what made that period of history so difficult?
When we talk about the Dark Ages that preceded the Protestant Reformation, what was that time period like? Well, as we have discussed, it was a time period when the nation of Israel was never looked at as something that God was going to complete an unfinished work through. That was largely because there were no Jews in the land. Something had come into existence called the Edict of Milan, where Christianity went from being persecuted to promoted, and so it looked as if the kingdom of God had come. And beyond that, the scripture was de-emphasized. There was a great emphasis on allegorization. There was a lack of emphasis on the priesthood of all believers. And without the scripture being the authority during this time period, you can see how ecclesiastical authorities would abuse their position of power through the sale of indulgences and tell people you needed to pay a certain fee to the ecclesiastical authorities to get your relatives, your deceased relatives, out of purgatory. And so it was a time period where the people were being manipulated because they had no scripture that they could access to test if that teaching concerning the sale of indulgences was accurate. It was a very difficult time when the church was functioning really without the light of God's word. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, it compares there God's word to a lamp. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. And unless you have that light, you cannot really be a Berean and test teachings that you hear by God's revealed word, which was what the church or the folks at Berea, the Bereans, were commended for by Luke in Acts 17 and verse 11. There is something in American history called the old Satan deluder law. It really represents the beginning of the public school system in the United States in 1647. And here's one line from that old Satan deluder law. It says, quote, "It being one chief project of that old deluder Satan to keep men from the knowledge of the scripture as in former time." And the law goes on and it calls for grammar schools to teach grammar so that people can read the scripture for themselves. But you'll notice that it's one chief project of Satan to keep men ignorant of the scripture, as in former time. What former time? The Dark Ages before the Protestant Reformation. And so this explains why the Protestant Reformation was necessary to rescue us from that very difficult time period.
Thanks, Dr. Woods. We always enjoy your clear teaching on the Bible and history, and we look forward to next week's program. For additional encouragement throughout this season, all the way until the end of the year, follow our page at facebook.com/Whitcomb Ministries. And then please join us next week for part two of The Reformation and the Dark Ages. That will be right here on Encounter God's Truth. Now for everyone behind the scenes, I'm Wayne Shepherd. May the Lord God strengthen you and build you up this week as you encounter His truth.